Welcome to the Cine Bros Podcast. We have another tangent episode for you today. And in this episode, we will be just discussing the Star Wars prequels, giving our opinions on them. This was a viewer suggestion from Todd William on YouTube. And this just goes to show that we like to hear your comments on what you want us to do. If you have a suggestion for an episode you would like us to do, leave us a comment or reach out to us on social media. We might very well do it. Boys, you want to say hello?
What's up, everybody? What's
going Hola.
On? I'm back. Hello. All
right. So I think the easiest thing to do, you know, this isn't going to have any particular format or anything, but I think the best thing to do would just for us to list off our top three favorite prequel movies and then maybe our top three prequel movies as they are, like, with their merit as films. Because I know, like, my favorite movies are not what I think the best made ones are. So I think we just do two lists. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay, so I think that my, like, in the order of my prequels, the way I would rank them, it goes three is the best, two is the second best, and one is the worst. That's how I would rank them.
All right, and is that what you think they are as movies as well?
Like, just as movies by themselves?
Just, like, better-made movies.
Better-made movies?
Yeah.
Like, I would technicality.
I would say the same, yeah.
Okay. Who next?
I'll go ahead. So, yeah, kind of like Ray, my favorite of the prequels in order is also the order of the best-made prequels, in my opinion. So, my favorites, in my mind, are also the ones that are just the best-made objectively as films. So my favorite is Revenge of the Sith. I love that one. The third one, I actually really enjoy that movie. And then it's definitely a large gap in my enjoyment between episode 3 and then episodes 1 and 2. But I'll put episode 1 as my second favorite, and then I got to put episode 2, Attack of the Clones, at the end. That's my least favorite. So it goes 3, 1, and 2 for me.
Okay, Dylan?
I would definitely go, with what Ray said. I think Revenge of the Sith is like George Lucas's greatest thing he's ever made, film he's ever made. And then I would go with Attack of the Clones next. I think a lot of plots and certain things in that movie are overlooked by some other stuff. And then I would go The Phantom Menace as my least favorite. I like all three of them, but if I had to, you know, like, I have to choose them, so I would choose The Phantom Menace last.
Okay, and my list, in terms of my favorite, it goes 2-1-3. And in terms of movies, it goes 1-3-2.
Interesting.
Wait, so say that again?
Yeah, so my favorites go 2-1-3. Yeah, and then in terms of movies, I think it's 1-3-2. So do we?
I could see where you're coming from on the movies part with one.
Yeah. So where do we want to go? Who wants to like take the mic first and discuss something?
I'll go last.
Okay, Dylan will go last.
I'm the guest.
Okay, Dylan.
So
Dylan, the last. Luke or Ray, do you want to talk or do you want me to?
Ray, you can go if you want.
I'll go ahead and say something, I guess. These movies are often looked at as a joke to some people, but to me, they're still watchable. I still enjoy watching them just because of the sole fact that I grew up on them, and they still hold that special value to me to this day. Like, I could still watch it and still enjoy it.
But yeah.
Honestly, in terms of today, if I went back and tried to watch the first one, I would be honestly bored, so that's why it's last for both on my list, because there's not much there, and plus they kill Qui-Gon, who's that just annoyed me. Qui-Gon was an awesome character, and they killed him off after one movie.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Qui-Gon was really good. I was really upset when they killed him off.
I read some stuff about that, actually. Yeah, he's a great character.
And Tyler, 3's just, as Luke was saying earlier, 3's levels above both of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But 2 is ahead of 1 for me, just because of the end, like the end battle scene. What was it called?
The Battle of Geonosis, yeah.
Yeah, Battle of Geonosis. For me, that's why 2s ahead of 1.
Yeah, the reason I like 2 so much is, like, it's not based off, like, the merits of the movie, because I do think it's the worst made of the three. It's purely based off of, like, my own personal nostalgia. You know, as a kid, what is better than seeing dozens of Jedi, like, in battle on the live action
screen? That's why, that's, like, that's, yeah. I feel that.
That's why it's my favorite. Yeah. I just have, like, good memories of that movie.
Yeah.
Well, I can see myself watching that, like, in my old childhood house right now, like, in the living room with my mom.
Yeah, it was so cool seeing seeing Mace Windu pull out a purple lightsaber, because no one had ever seen anything like that before. And
yeah,
it was cool seeing him point it at Dooku's head. That was awesome.
I think that's one of the best moments of the series, in my opinion, honestly.
Yeah. It was the stake of that whole movie, really, was right there. A lot could have been ended right there. Yeah.
And growing up, Mace Windu was always my favorite Jedi, just because of the purple lightsaber, because no one else had one like that.
Yeah.
So what's your guys' favorite lightsaber color? Like, it can be like EU and all that as well.
Man, that's tough.
I don't know. I got to go with purple, I think.
I got to go with purple too.
Yeah, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay, but what about the one in The Mandalorian? What is that thing? Like, have you guys
watched it? It's a dark saber.
Yeah,
the dark saber. That thing's cool.
Yeah.
Mine's probably orange. Like, I have always thought orange lightsaber.
I was gonna say orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was
purple.
Yeah, I was gonna say either yellow or orange, because I remember playing Jedi Knight 2 on the Xbox. You could customize your lightsaber, and I always chose yellow or orange. So I think I'm gonna choose that one.
Yeah. So I don't. Are any of you guys just, like, super interested in, like, old Star Wars, like, not too old, but like 90s to early 2000s Star Wars, in terms of, like, the EU and all that?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, because, like, back then, like, I was reading about, like, a few months ago, that I was just, like, I dove so deep into, like, a rabbit hole because I was so interested by it, was, like, how many different lightsaber colors there were for, like, the characters in The Phantom Menace in the EU, because obviously this was before Attack of the Clones. We hadn't actually seen them in action yet, so everyone was just assuming what kind of colors they'd have. So you had, like, red, pink, orange, purple. Like, you had so many colors that, like, they just didn't use, and I thought it was so much cooler just to have those colors.
Yeah. Well, I know there's like a behind the scenes in Attack of the Clones where Samuel Jackson asks George Lucas what color lightsaber he's going to have. And he's like, well, most Jedi are either blue or green. And he's like, well, what about a purple one? And he's like, well, we can get you a purple one. So,
I love how that's
OK, but have you heard the backstory, like, actually, to why it's purple?
Isn't it like
he can balance the force, the dark side and.
Yeah, it's his fighting style, the form 7. Yeah.
Oh, OK.
Yeah,
it's called, like, Vapad, right?
Vapad, yeah, or Vapad, yeah. That fighting style is like the, it's like, it, like, teeters on the edge of the dark side. So
yeah,
but a lot of dark side users use purple too. So
yeah,
and obviously red. So, like, Revan use purple. Revan,
you know, for the longest time, I thought Mace Windu was Snoke.
I saw that theory. I think that was a little ridiculous.
Wait, that's a theory? What?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, and it was believable.
That's interesting, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He changed skin colors too. He became white. Yeah. All the electrocution. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Luke, you got anything to say, like, just immediately about the prequels?
I do. Yeah. To kind of, and you know, like Ray said, I still watch these movies pretty often, and I enjoy them as Star Wars movies. I like the fact that they expand on things from the original trilogy, gives you some backstory to Darth Vader. I mean, that really is the point of these three movies, right? And it's neat to see, you know, it's cool to see all that stuff. And at the time, especially, I'm sure people were excited to figure out what exactly happened, you know, because at the time when they came out, they really just had the original trilogy. And there was some EU stuff, but for the most part, just those original three movies. But if I look at them objectively as movies, I think they're pretty bad, if I'm being honest with you. I like episode 3. It still has a lot of problems that the other movies had. It's just that, like, I guess George Lucas took some of that criticism and improved on them decently for episode three. So I do actually genuinely really like episode three as a film, not just as a Star Wars fan. I like all these movies as a Star Wars fan, but if you look at the filmmaking and the script in particular and the dialogue, which George Lucas is so bad at writing dialogue.
God, he's so bad.
Particularly romance dialogue. And episodes one and two to me are just pretty bad films. You know, like I said, I enjoy them and there's cool stuff in there. Like Ewan McGregor is awesome. And that's the first thing I ever saw him in. And I mean, he's a great actor and he's really good as Obi-Wan. And there's a reason everybody wants to see him in the new Star Wars show, in that Obi-Wan show. But to kind of sum up my, I guess, broad thoughts on the prequels, I'm really not a fan. And I know we'll get into these, my individual issues with them later on. But yeah, I watch them as Star Wars movies and I enjoy them. But as films, I think they're pretty bad.
Yeah. Dylan, I've got a question for you. Since I think you were more technical minded too, you think three is the best made as well?
Yes.
What's your problem with one?
I don't really have a problem with one. I think it's just because I love episode three so much. There's a lot of great stuff in episode one, honestly, that I really like. I like the whole midichlorians thing. I know a lot of people don't. You have to have some way to explain why Jedi are the way they are. Unlike, you know, the sequel trilogy where anyone can be a Jedi, apparently. But
yeah,
the midichlorians thing.
Yeah,
I don't like that at all. I like the fact that it could just be something that can live inside everybody. I don't like the midichlorian saying. I mean, to me, I get what you're saying, but
episode one is just the most boring Star Wars movie of any of them.
Really?
I'd agree with that. Yeah. My least favorite is episode two, but I do think episode one's more boring than episode two. So
yeah, I don't know. For me, it's a thing of, like I said, two is my favorite, but one kind of makes me feel a certain way that I don't really know how to describe. I think one, there's something just really special about it that just feels like a Star Wars movie to me. I loved all the Naboo scenes as a kid because that just felt like such an alien world. And like, I think it was the first world that made me really feel like I was a part of the movie.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think that one is, it honestly has like a lot more mature of a story than the rest of them. I don't actually think the dialogue is that bad, and I don't think the acting is that bad in the movie. I would actually go so far to say as that one has the best writing of the three of them.
Okay, I don't really agree with that.
I can kind of see where you're coming from.
Like, I don't feel like one does anything particularly egregious in his writing. That like is like awful. Like, I don't know if Luke or Ray, since you all completely disagree, like have any like bad scenes about it that I'm just forgetting.
For me in episode one, I don't think the acting is bad. And I don't think it's bad. I mean, Jake Lloyd isn't very good, but he's a kid. You know, I give kids a lot of leeway when it comes to child actors, a lot of leeway when it comes to that stuff. But for me, I just feel like episode one, everything feels stilted and unnatural. Where episode two, I do think episode two is worse because there actually is actually bad writing and actual bad performances by adult actors. But in episode one, it just everything feels stiff. You know what I mean? And aside from Jar Jar, every performance, I mean, even Liam Neeson, who's obviously a legend, you know what I mean? But just all the dialogue, it just feels very stilted. Like they tell you exactly what's happening and they all talk like this. Oh, Senate meetings and stuff like that. Like they all have a weird, I don't like the inflection that George Lucas gave them in their voices, but that's like a small nitpick. I just, again, the performances and stuff aren't bad and the dialogue isn't particularly bad. It's just everything feels very stilted. And I think I know why that is. I think that is because it's so hard to interact with when all the backgrounds are CGI green screen and blue screens. That can be very hard for actors too, because they're not really looking at anything. And I watched some videos about the making of these movies, and in episode one in particular, there's hardly any sets. If they're in a specific tiny room, like whenever they're in Tatooine with Anakin and his mom in their slave quarters, that's a real set. But for the most part, it's all blue screen and green screen. And it's just, that's hard for actors to interact with that properly, right? There's a lot of pretending that has to go on there and a lot of the actor's kind of imagining, and it just comes off as very stilted. It's not bad. Episode 2 gets bad. It's not episode 1. The dialogue isn't bad. The acting's not bad. It just feels very forced and stilted and unnatural. Like everybody just, there's no emotion. There is no emotion. That's the biggest flaw for me, is that there's not emotion. Aside from Jar Jar, which I don't hate Jar Jar. I don't hate Jar Jar at all. I really don't. I don't hate him, but a lot of people do. I don't like him, but I don't think he's horrible. But aside from Jar Jar, there's just no emotion to this movie. It's like very wooden. The whole movie feels wooden to me.
Well, I'd like
with episode 1.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I say something?
Yeah, feel free.
Okay, I'd like to interject there. It's kind of confusing, like the thing you were saying about the everything acting being in like the blue screens and green screen rooms, because George Lucas mixed real sets in there with those green screens. But how, I don't understand how you could say that, but like all the Marvel movies, because they do the exact same thing.
That is
all,
true.
All those movies are filmed in blue and green screen rooms.
Okay, but I feel like the direction on those movies are a little better. And there's a better
You could make that argument too. Dylan, you know, I know it's like a big problem with people having the prequels. I've never really thought the CGI in the prequels was all that bad, to be honest.
I agree. Yeah. That was cutting edge technology at the time.
Yeah. I think episode 1 still holds up today fairly well, honestly.
Yeah. I don't understand why people like complain about the CGI so much. Mm-hmm. I've never really. Thought of it as a problem.
And
it doesn't look that bad. I don't think it looks that bad. I think it's just overused.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I like that the original trip, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think CGI looks bad. It's just, it can be slightly dated when it's all CGI.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I enjoy the prequels. As Star Wars movies, I would much rather watch the prequels than the Disney Star Wars movies. I think most of us can agree.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Most of us can agree with that.
Yeah. Right? I think Star Wars movies are beautifully shot.
They are.
They're filmmaking. Yeah. But like, I don't really want to watch the new Star Wars movies, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I love the new trilogy.
I do like the fact that in the new trilogy, they brought back puppetry. A lot of like the different species and stuff are puppets, and I like that. I'm a big practical effects guy. That's why I love practical effects. And it's not that the CGI looks bad. It's just that George Lucas kind of took all this awesome technology and, to me, overused it when he didn't need to, especially when a lot of the script in episode 1 is standing around talking about politics for a while, which I will say, and I like that Ray brought up that it's the most boring. It's not the worst, but it's the most boring. As a kid, I didn't really enjoy this one that much, because there's like 45 minutes where it's just talking about politics. And obviously now I understand what they're talking about, but as a kid, I just was so not into that. So I don't think the CGI looks bad. I just think it's a little dated. It didn't look bad though. I don't think it looks bad.
I think Dylan and I still aren't interested in it, because I know Dylan and I both hate politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
To this day, we're still not interested.
Yeah, Dylan, did you have that problem with it?
With the politics being in the movie?
Yeah, like boringness.
I just get bored by it.
I don't think so at all. No, I think you have to explain away why there's a war going on, and that's something that even the original trilogy didn't do. And it really shows Palpatine's character as like the mastermind and the puppet master pulling the strings on everyone across the galaxy. And I think it builds. That's what all that building up was. What makes Episode 3 so great, because you see all this unfold and the climax of everything. I mean, compared to the sequel trilogy, the sequel trilogy is just Empire bad, Rebellion good. Let's fight. That's literally the plot to me. But I enjoyed the politics and. Because it shows that the world of Star Wars is more than just like Jedi and Sith and the Empire or whatever, Republic. It just shows everything. It makes it a little bit more realistic, I guess, so that people can relate to it more. But I enjoyed it. And I think the scenes with Palpatine in the Senate, I think, are great. Those scenes are really just chilling and wonderfully acted.
Yo, I mean, I'm totally fine with there being politics in there, and we need exposition, obviously, but I don't think there needed to be a large chunk of the movie where that was all that was happening. Like, I love in movies when they have scenes where they need to get information to the audience, and a lot of information, but they put something in there that's happening that still keeps it exciting instead of the people just kind of just saying it directly to the audience exactly what they need to know and why it's going on. Now, I do agree with Dylan that the stuff with Palpatine is good. And I'm fine with all the politics. It's just there's a better way to do that. There's a way to make it more exciting. But, I mean, obviously those politics need to be in there. I don't think there needs to just all be action all the time because then there'd be no substance. But I just think there's a better way to handle it than 45 minutes of your movie being just that.
Yeah, I think my bit, just to sum everything up, I think the biggest thing I like about it is that it just feels like a different kind of Star Wars movie, which I really liked.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that whenever I talk about the prequels with people, I think the biggest proponent of the prequels is that of how original they were and different they were than the original trilogy, rather than rehashing stuff from the original trilogy. He really tried to make new stuff, unlike, you know, the sequels just rip entirely off of the old trilogy, the original trilogy. So
there's a lot of fan service, but in all, it's like completely different from the each trilogy is completely different in its own way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. Yeah.
I'll pose this question to the group as a whole. Where does the prequel trilogy rank in like your preference of watching them? Because I think I would rather watch the prequels than the originals or the sequels.
I agree. Yeah, I would go prequels, originals, and sequels.
Okay, so you guys are all going to think I'm crazy. You want to hear my preference?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Mine goes sequels, prequels, originals.
Okay. I think Dylan might have to fight you now.
I'd probably go sequels, originals, then prequels.
Yeah. I'm originals, prequels, and then sequels. So I will also put sequels last, but
yeah,
I'm a big original trilogy guy.
I don't know why everyone hates the sequels so much.
I don't hate them. I just, if I had to watch, they just depress me. I hate how like, they've essentially divided an entire fan base, and it's just not fun to talk about Disney Star Wars anymore.
Okay, so, but if you look at it from my point of view, I love the movies, and I completely ignore all the fan base stuff. If you just watch the movies for yourself and ignore all that stuff, like I don't know if you can still do it now knowing like that it's all going on, but like, that's my viewpoint on it, and that's why I love them so much, because I ignore all that.
And that's why I think you're a good fan, Ray, because I feel like most of the fans of the sequel trilogies aren't like you are. So I agree with what you're saying. And again, I don't mind the sequels. Like, there's a lot of dumb stuff in there, but you know, I mean, I do love The Force Awakens.
I think Force Awakens is really good.
But that's the only one that I really love. The others are just kind of meh for me.
Since we're on to episode 2 now, I'd say it's my favorite, but I would say in terms of filmmaking, it's a significant downgrade from episode 1.
Okay, I feel like they got better.
Yeah, I feel like they get better each movie.
Really?
Each film. Yeah.
Like the scope of imagination is
like
more
all around.
Movie.
Like I feel like the writing gets better in each movie. Everything all around gets better in each movie.
You think the writing gets better in episode 2?
I was wrong. I misspoke. I think episode 2 is worse. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Yeah, no, I was wrong. Never mind. Episode 2 is worse.
Yeah.
The love dialogue on Naboo and 2 is really bad. That's the one bad thing I can say that I don't like. I really hate that dialogue.
Yeah, it was really, really not good.
It sounds like he's never talked. George Lucas has never talked to a woman before. So, which I mean, it's not true.
Have you seen the guy?
No, I mean, he's married. I mean, he's had multiple wives that like he's been
multiple wives. I mean,
he's a player.
He's a polygamist. No, just playing. No, but I mean, he's been married a few times. So, I mean, it's very strange. And then just the writing in episode 2 is bad. I want to let somebody else talk because I've talked a lot. So somebody else talk.
Ray, what do you think about episode 2?
What do I think about episode 2?
Yeah, you got any problems with it? You like it? What?
I solely like it because of the battle scene.
Yeah.
Is episode 2 the one that opens up and they're in the city and they're doing like the flying car scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Anakin? Yeah. I like that. I like that scene too. I like that planet. like with all the flying cars.
Coruscant, Coruscant's cool.
I think that the prequels brings in a lot of cool planets that we haven't seen before in Star Wars, and that's another cool thing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought being down in Coruscant and seeing how the streets, if you will, actually are, you know, with all the flying cars and all that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I would like episode two a whole lot less if that battle scene wasn't there. But that battle scene is just so good, man.
Same. It gets hated on.
It's awesome. Yeah. I think it when Yoda comes in on the ships, do you think they're all about to get killed?
That's so cool.
The gunships.
Yeah, I remember I used to play that scene where all the Jedi ignite their lightsabers over and over and over again as a kid. I love that scene.
Yeah. All the cool ones, Kit Fisto and all those guys,
Yeah, I mean, it is cool to see. That's definitely the best part of the movie, I think. The final act in general is good. I like the whole final act. Mm-hmm. But if I could just talk real quick for a second. I know I've talked a lot, but I just... My big problem with episode two... is the writing, not just the dialogue, you know, and I get it. Anakin is supposed to be immature and whiny, and obviously that's an important part of his character, but I don't like how creepy he is to Padme. I feel like that's a bit much. And again, that's the Lucas love dialogue, is that I guess that's how he thinks flirting is. You just, you just creep women out and kind of don't give them a chance to say no. You kind of just like wear them down until they're like, fine, I'll sleep with you now. Another thing that I don't like is, and I know I talked about, I like when all the Jedi show up. That is the first time that the Council has done much in all of those movies. Most of the time, they're just kind of sitting around and talking about how their vision is clouded. And I know that all that stuff is important and you need those scenes at the Jedi Temple. And, you know, most of that stuff is fine. It's just that, you know, you have all of these Jedi not doing anything, and then you send the one Jedi that has to go on this like really romantic mission to protect Padme. You send the one person who's obviously like infatuated with her and who's in love with her. Like you send that. He's really the one you send. Like you could have sent anybody else. You could have even sent Obi-Wan and nothing would have happened. But you send the young pervy one to Naboo on a romance mission where they have candlelight dinners and talk about their feelings. And
hot take real quick. You said Obi-Wan could even went. I don't know. Obi-Wan's low key a savage. Isn't he dating a queen? Doesn't he like low key date a queen on the side?
Yeah, he does. Oh, yeah. He does, but Padme's a lot younger than him. So I don't know if he would have.
Yeah, that would be really weird.
Yeah, that is weird. But no, I mean, yeah.
But I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I mean, he could have. I mean, it probably wouldn't have been handled better than Anakin and her romance. And I just the fact that episode two, a large chunk of the movie is a romance, doesn't bother me if the romance is done well. But it's not. And that's a large chunk of the movie. Essentially, to me, this movie serves to kind of slowly push Anakin over to the dark side more. You take like his immaturity and stuff and you use that and his emotions and use that to push him to the dark side more. But then a lot of the movie is also a romance. That's like one of the central things about the movie. And when such a large portion of your movie is written so poorly, I mean, that just really is a detriment to the movie. Also don't like how Yoda at the end, a lot of people like that Yoda fights with a lightsaber, jumps around. I'm fine with him fighting with a lightsaber, but it just seems a little odd for his character in the long run because if, you know, in the original trilogy, he's like pointing his muscle. He's like, this crude matter here. That's not, and he stresses that there's more to the Force than being able to use a lightsaber. And I know that obviously all Jedi have a lightsaber to protect themselves, but when he fights Dooku, he ignites his lightsaber first. So he goes and picks that fight first. And I just don't really like that for his character. I know a lot of people like seeing Yoda kind of bounce around like a pinball with a lightsaber, but
Dooku needed taken care of.
I don't really like it. I know he needed taken care of, but Luke, I just don't like how it's done. I don't like that for his character.
It'd be a whole lot less cool if that didn't happen.
No, I agree. I will say that it's very enjoyable.
Personally, I think it's cool when Jedi do kill people like Sith.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that scene in episode two.
Anakin kills Dooku,
I guess it's the fact that it's Yoda doing it.
Yeah,
If it was another Jedi, I wouldn't have minded.
Who would you prefer? Someone like Mace?
Oh, I could 100% see Mace doing it because Mace is already.
Mace wanted to kill Palpatine.
He did, yeah, and he could have
killed Dooku. Yeah, he could have killed Dooku at the beginning of the arena battle.
Yeah, you're right. He could have.
So we all said our piece on episode two.
Oh wait, can I say more? I think the most overlooked thing about episode two was like the detective mission that Obi-Wan went on to hunt down Jango Fett and then found the clone army. I think that was like one of the coolest things ever.
And I remember that from the Lego Star Wars game.
Yeah. I thought that was so cool. And he was in the Jedi library, like researching the Dart and everything, where it came from the Kamino system. And I thought Kamino was just a great planet, like such a cool planet, a water planet. Mm-hmm. And like the whole thing where this old Jedi had wanted to create a clone army named Sifo Dyas. And I thought that was, I know they explained it on that on Clone Wars, but man, I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. And it like, I think that scene perfectly foreshadows like the stormtroopers in the Empire, because it explains like why the Empire or stormtroopers are so bad at aiming, because they were just like regular civilians who were, you know, who just wanted to be stormtroopers, and the clones were cloned off of Jango Fett, who was like a sharpshooter. So I thought that was a good connection George Lucas made there with and giving Boba Fett even more of a backstory because he was like a fan favorite. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I do think the fight between Obi-Wan and Jango is pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a fun part of the movie. For me, if the romance was just done better, I mean, my gosh, this movie would be honestly be really good. But it's just done so poorly, and it's such a large chunk of the movie that it just, oh my, it just drags down the whole experience for me. And
I agree, it's the weakest part. Yeah, that is, romance is the weakest part. But I really think the part with the where he goes to Tatooine, I think is was great. I thought, and like the love thing kind of made sense to me. I guess like in that part of the movie.
Well, I actually really like the scene like where he frees his mom, but then she passes away, and it's like. She dies before she can finish, you know, the phrase, I love you. She gets like, I love out, and then she dies. And I just think the scene right after where he's talking to Padme, I think his line his line delivery is so bad. It kind of undoes all the cool Anakin's character building that that previous scene just did. It's like, okay, George Lucas, you got some good stuff here with Anakin, finally. Oh, and you just crapped on it. And I just didn't like this scene right after that. But the actual scene where he kills the Tusken Raiders and sees his mom is really good. I just feel like the scene after just isn't good.
Do y'all think this is the best Anakin scene we get in the prequels?
I would say that.
Anakin has just as many good scenes. Well, he has more bad scenes than he does good scenes, but I think his bad scenes make his good scenes like... people look more at his bad scenes than they do his good scenes, because he does have some good scenes throughout the whole trilogy.
Yeah, I think one of the other great scenes is whenever Palpatine... Like the scene when they're at the opera and he tells him about Darth Plagueis, I think that's a great scene because Anakin's like starting to question the Jedi at that point, and he's becoming interested. But I really love the scene when he's in Palpatine's office and he points the lightsaber at Palpatine, and he's like you're the Sith Lord we've been after, and Palpatine's like begging him to come under his wing. I love that scene because Anakin really, he wants to become good at that point. Like he's really like not feeding into the manipulation at all. And he wants to be, you know, recognized as like the chosen one and a good Jedi. But I really love that. And the Palpatine's acting is so great there. He's like, I could feel your anger. I love that. That's so great. It gives me chills thinking about it. I love that scene.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So I think we pretty much transitioned into episode three now. So maybe y'all can talk about why you think this is the best of the prequels.
Why don't you talk, Tyler? Let me hear you talk, because I feel like you haven't talked as much.
Well, honestly, I don't know why I don't like episode three as much as most people do. I think it's mostly just personal preference. Like I said, Phantom Menace, it just makes me feel certain things. It's a pretty cool atmosphere, I think. It's a lot different than a lot of Star Wars movies. And then in episode two, of course, you got the Battle of Geonosis, which, as we've talked about, is so good. You know, episode three, I love the Order 66 scene. That's a really good scene. And I love the Obi-Wan versus Anakin and Yoda versus Palpatine scenes. I think that's really good.
What about when Obi-Wan drops in front of the whole droid army and takes on Grievous 1v1?
Okay. All right. I love all the battles. Those are really cool. And there are a lot of them. So that's good. But I feel like a lot of stuff in between was really forgettable. So I think that's why three is just a lot less for me than the other ones.
I think that three is the most memorable for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, then we just agree to disagree. What is it that you guys like so much?
Maybe there's just so many memorable scenes in it. Like the opening scene when they're on the, what are those called? They're in their cruisers.
Separatist command ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan and Anakin together. Those are some good Anakin scenes there. Those scenes with Anakin and Obi-Wan together, those aren't bad.
It's the only time where they seem like friends.
Yeah.
Because like he describes, obviously, Obi-Wan describes Anakin to Luke. You know, he's talking about his father in episode 4. He says he was a great friend. You know what I mean? And the whole time you're like, well, they kind of bicker a lot. They don't really seem like they're friends, but they have really good banter.
And they show they are that way, but they can be that way because they've showed that they cared about each other throughout the trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess agree, disagree. I feel like this movie is the first one where I actually get a good sense for their friendship.
Because at the end battle at the Attack of the Clones, Anakin really didn't have to be there.
I think
he went to save Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I think.
If I'm correct.
If I remember.
Well, no, I mean, I know that they care about each other. I'm just saying that it doesn't do a good job of showing that to me.
Well, let me just chip in here for a second. I think what Luke is trying to say is that obviously there was a relationship between them in the other movies, but I think that this is the first movie where they actually feel like friends as opposed to a teacher and an apprentice.
Yeah.
And apprentice.
Yeah, that's literally what I was. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But I mean, they do have a relationship in the other ones. I mean, obviously, and you know that they care about each other, but this one is the one where I'm like, oh yeah, they're good buddies. They really care about each other.
And it makes it even better at the end whenever they fight. The fight's so emotional. You can see it.
Oh yeah.
It all goes back to the Duel of the Fates fight in episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
I know I sent Tyler this video of Dave Filoni talking about it, but he does an incredible articulate job of describing exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, I can.
Whereas, like, go ahead.
We completely forgot to talk about Duel of the Fates when we were talking about episode 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I touched on Qui-Gon.
Yeah, Qui-Gon's cool.
I mean, Darth Maul should have been the main. I mean, obviously Sidious is the main protagonist, but I think he should have lived at the end of episode 1. And I think that, I mean, he did live, but you know what I'm saying. At the time,
Darth Maul would have been way cooler than Grievous.
He would have been cooler than Grievous and Dooku. And then, like, again, he can kind of be, Palpatine can, you know, be running the show behind the scenes in episode 2. And then at the start of episode 3, instead of killing Dooku, I mean, you could just not even have Dooku. You could just have Darth Maul serve that purpose.
We got anything else?
I'll say that episode 3, I'll sum it up in eight words for me. It's over Anakin. I have the high ground. I mean, I still use the wand to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, when Obi-Wan says hello there to, I can't do the voice, so I won't try, but he says hello there after jumping into an entire pool of the droid army. It's just so neat. It's just so cool.
Obi-Wan's just such a great character.
He is, dude. He's so awesome. In every form of Star Wars media he's in, he's awesome.
Literally.
I think the final scene on the bank of the lava with Obi-Wan and Anakin, I think is the most emotional scene in the entire saga, I think. And I really think it's actually written very well. And the performances are great. I mean, it's just chilling when Anakin says, I hate you. And he's like guttural in the way he says it. And his eyes are all yellow. I love that, man. I remember when I saw that when I was like, I guess I must have been 7 when that came out. I saw it in theaters. I remember I cried when I saw it in theaters because I thought it was so sad. It was a really emotional scene. When I saw Obi-Wan crying, man, that got to me when I was a kid.
Well, I've got some other things to say. I will start with a positive before I get into my big negative with this movie, because I do really, really enjoy episode 3 a lot, but I have some negatives with it, obviously. But I love my absolute favorite scene in all of these movies, and it's one of my favorite scenes in any Star Wars media ever, is the Order 66 scene.
Mm-hmm.
It is so emotional. I mean, so good. And the music is very good. And I love the shot, especially when Ki-Adi-Mundi, they're on that planet. I think Megiddo is the planet name. Sorry.
It's Megiddo.
Yeah. And I love the scene where he's leading them into battle. And that shot where it shows their feet, and then all of a sudden they just stop in their tracks. That shot of their feet, and then it pans up. And then they just completely, I mean, it's just so emotional. And it takes characters like Ki-Adi-Mundi and Plo Koon. Plo Koon's awesome in the Clone Wars.
Plo Koon, I love, like,
he is.
But in the movies, you know, he doesn't really do much, or he's not doesn't say much. And Stass Alley, the chick on the speeder who gets shot, like, it takes all these Jedi, and not just, and Leia Secura, obviously, and it just shows all of these Jedi that we've seen, and it just really shows that, oh my gosh, this is going to completely, this is a new era for the Star Wars galaxy. Like, this is a turning point.
They tried to pull up on Yoda, though, and that didn't work for him.
That's such a cool scene. They come up behind him, and
Yoda is hanging with the Wookiees.
Decapitates him, yeah. It's cool. That's a cool scene. But yeah, Order 66 is done well, and I do like when... And if you guys ever played the Lego games, which I know you all have, but there's a... That scene in the Lego games, there's a lot more extensive than in the movie. It's the scene where Obi-Wan and Yoda go back to Coruscant and they fight a bunch of clones who are like disguised as Jedi, like they're wearing Jedi robes. Yes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was a cut scene, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool scene. And I like the reveal when Obi-Wan finds out that Anakin did all this horrible stuff. So yeah, that's good. Does anybody want to talk about anything else before I talk about my big negative with the movie? Because I might talk a while about that. Yeah, go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I think this stretches on throughout all three of these movies and the prequels, I really don't even, to me, I don't really think it's debatable, but I think the score, the musical score in the trilogy, in the prequel trilogy, is the best of all three trilogies, particularly in Episode 3. I think it is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the when you were talking about the Order 66 scene, like, yeah, those scenes are great, but I think the music really like hits it home harder, especially like when the music kind of like swells up when Yoda drops his cane and like grabs his heart when he knows that all the Jedi have died. Like, the music is just timed up perfectly in every scene. The original trilogy obviously has great music, but I think the prequels, as particularly in Episode 3, do it well. You know, Duel of Fates obviously is like the big one that everyone knows. And that song plays in all three movies in parts very detrimental to Anakin's character throughout the three movies, which I thought was really interesting. You know, the Grievous theme is great. The music between Obi-Wan and Anakin when they fight is great. The droid invasion music from Episode 1, I really like. I play Battlefront a lot, so I hear that song.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. The Jango's theme when they're fighting and Kamino is great. But I really think the score is the best in these three movies. I cannot think of a single piece of score from the sequel trilogy at all. They reuse a lot of the old music, and I don't remember any new music from the new movies.
So basically, the sequel trilogy is just trash, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely, with all my heart, hate the sequel movies and everyone involved in them. So that's just me. Yeah. I mean, I've extensively looked into this over years. So a lot of most of it stems from the behind the scenes stuff, like the directing and the writing and just Disney as a whole. I abhor J.J. Abrams as a director. I think he's one of the most unoriginal people ever. He takes credit for where he doesn't have any credit. And I hate Rian Johnson with a passion. So.
Okay, so for a while, my negative was with the fact that Palpatine did kill those other Jedi so quick, but I have found out before this episode that it was because of the attack that he used. So I'm cool with that. That's a cool addition. I like how they explain that in, the expanded universe and stuff. So that's cool. My big problem with the movie, I love, and again, he talks about the scene where, Darth Plagueis the Wise, and this movie does the best at actually selling Anakin's slow turn to the dark side, because in the other movies, obviously his mom dies and all kinds of stuff happens to him. But in this one, Palpatine really hammers it home. I mean, he knows that it's time for his plan to really kick into gear, and he focuses really hard on trying to get Anakin to turn to the dark side. And I think it's done really well. I love all the scenes almost all the scenes between Anakin and Darth Sidious before Anakin actually turns to the dark side, I think it's great. When he kills Dooku and all that stuff's awesome. Very well done. And I like how he knows that Palpatine should probably die, but at the same time, he feels that Palpatine's the only one who can help him save Padme. So he cuts off Mace Windu's hand and Mace gets shot out the window. I like all that. My biggest problem with this movie is Anakin's actual turn. Up until the point where he cuts off Mace Windu's hand, there's still so much, like, you can see on Hayden Christensen's face. And I don't, agree to disagree. I don't think his performance is very good, but there are parts where he shines, and I think he does a really good job in that scene in particular, where you can just tell that he's so conflicted because he knows that Palpatine's the Sith Lord and he knows that Mace Windu's right, but he just doesn't, he can't bring himself to allow Mace, when to kill him. So my actual problem is how, I mean, just immediately after all of that happens, Palpatine stands up and, you know, he's looking actually like Darth Sidious now. And then Anakin's actual turn to me is the worst part of the movie. Mm-hmm. I like the build up to it, but his turn to me is so abrupt. I mean, there's literally 15 seconds and he's just like, I pledge myself to your teachings. And it's just, it's very, very abrupt. I still feel like there, he has two lines. He says, what have I done? Which is good. He's like, oh shoot, man, did I just mess up? And then immediately after he's just like, well, screw it. I've already came this far. I don't like that. I think it should have been more conflicted. I think Palpatine and him should have had some more lines where, you know, it sells his turn to the dark side more. It's just so abrupt. He goes from being conflicted to like in 20 minutes being willing to murder children, literally slaughters a class of younglings. And I just feel like that turn in his character is just an issue with the writing. George Lucas loved the guy, but he just not the best. He's good with the story, but when it comes to character development and dialogue, he's not the best. I'll just be honest. That's just my opinion. And I just think that Anakin's turn is very abrupt. I love the buildup and I like what happens afterwards. I love the raid on the temple. And it's always bugged me, a side note, it's always bugged me that the raid on the temple wasn't shown more in the movie, because that is such a cool thing. Like, if you all have played the Revenge of the Sith game that came out, like the one when the movie did, there's like a large chunk of the game where you're playing as Anakin just killing all these Jedi in the raid on the temple scene. You know what I mean? That's not in the movie. And it's really entertaining. Like, it's really cool. And like the clones are marching on the temple. It's really cool. For whatever reason, the movie only shows him in the movie, cuts off Mace Windu's hand. But after that, the only Jedi you see him kill are children. And it's like, you know, and I don't mind the choice of him killing a youngling. Obviously, it's bad. Don't kill children, our listeners. Don't kill children. But it's just the fact that it's so abrupt. It's the fact that he is so willing to just be like, what have I done? Okay, yep, I'm evil. I'm going to kill children. Like in literally a 20 minutes time, because it cuts to like Obi-Wan and some other scenes. But and the Order 66 scene happens then. But like, it's so abrupt. That is my biggest problem. It's just, he's like, yep, pledge myself to your teaching. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's kill all kinds of people. It's just so abrupt. And if they had shown him kill more Jedi, maybe I wouldn't have minded, like if it showed the raid on the temple and it's like, oh, wow, he's really slipping to the dark side now. But it's just like, oh, he helps Palpatine kill Mace Windu. He didn't really kill Mace Windu, but he obviously had a hand in it. But it only shows, the only Jedis that it really shows him kill are children. And there's a deleted scene where he kills Shaak Ti, but that's a deleted scene, so I don't really count that. But yeah, so again, I'll close up my thoughts on episode 3. I really enjoyed this movie. Hayden Christensen's performance, sometimes it's bad. It's just his line delivery. Like, the emotions on his face are really good, but it's just, you know, his line delivery can just be,
But Luke, don't you think it might have been a problem with the writing to give him such bad delivery?
That's fair. I mean, there's all kinds of different hands playing in it. There's also George Lucas's directing might have had a hand in it. It just, there's a lot of things that could happen. But again, I'm giving him some credit. Like, he is a lot better in this movie than episode 2. I don't think you can really debate that. I think it does better.
Yeah.
But again, biggest problem with the movie is Anakin's actual turn to the dark side. It is the most abrupt thing ever. And I love the buildup, but the actual turn should have been a lot more than that. I mean, he just says one line and then it's like, yep, I'm evil. I'm going to go kill some children. It's just, I don't like that.
I mean, all the dark side scenes and stuff build up along all three movies. And I think, you know, you had to have some way of, he's going to have to turn at some point. And I think that George Lucas's writing was fine in those scenes. I mean, something that I think a lot of people don't realize is that George Lucas made these movies because he loved them. He wasn't trying to make like an Oscar nominated movie. He just wanted to make, you know, something that he really liked. Yeah. But what you said about it being abrupt, it sounded really similar to Chris Stuckman and Jeremy Johns on YouTube. They said something very similar to that, but I've always disagreed with that. I think that it made sense to his character.
That's where I got that opinion from. Like, because before that I was like, oh, the prequels are pretty cool movies. But I like looked up a bunch of stuff about when I actually started to, like, I don't know, get a little bit more into liking film, I guess, and started to watch critics. I thought they brought up a lot of good points. But yeah, but again, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I don't feel like that's a huge problem. Overall, I really enjoy the movie. That would be like my biggest flaw. But I mean, there's a lot I really like in this movie. that would be the one thing I'd pick out as not really liking, but that's really my biggest flaw. So
anybody have any last thoughts on the prequel trilogy?
I forgot to mention something about the CGI from before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like everyone always criticizes the movies for having bad CGI, but I really think that people don't realize that CGI was a cutting edge technology type thing in film at that time. That was the first time that you saw a character totally from the ground up built out of a computer or from a computer. And yeah, I think Ray said this too about the planets being really cool. The planets would not have been as cool in the prequels if it wasn't for the CGI, because you know in the original trilogy, all the planets that we saw were based off of Earth's climates, like Endor and Hoth and Tatooine. So it was really cool. I mean, you obviously cannot make a planet out of lava like Mustafar or a water planet like Kamino. I think the CGI really enhanced that imaginative scope that Lucas really was trying to go for there. And certainly enhanced the lightsaber duels. Can we talk about the lightsaber duels? I feel like we kind of briefly talked about it, but not a whole lot.
Oh yeah, the lightsaber duels are great, especially when compared to the other trilogies.
Yes.
I agree.
I think that like there is a stark contrast, I think, between the fights in this movie compared to the one in at the end of episode 7, mainly to do with the person in production, Nick Gilliard, who did all the fight coordination for the movies. He did all the ones for 1, 2, and 3. And he did it just an incredible job. I mean, those actors practice months before the movie, reciting step for step every part of the fight, and every time, or when you watch the fight in the movie, that they didn't speed it up any. That was the exact speed that they had practiced for the movie, which I think is incredible, especially like the scene in episode 1 when Darth Maul and Obi-Wan are really going at it after Qui-Gon dies, like really quick. I think that's great. But yeah, and even like the locations of the lightsaber fights too, I think were really like they just felt like Star Wars, you know. I mean, obviously they were, you know, fictitious, like, you know, over the pool of lava on the droids and stuff, and the scope of the settings that all these lightsaber fights take place and feel like Star Wars. And I think the one in 7 just sucks so bad. I mean, it's because it takes place in a forest, and it really just reminded me of like a U2 fan film when I watched it. They're kind of just like twirling their lightsabers around like kids, and there's not really a whole lot at stake behind the lightsaber fight in 7. Yeah, I mean, and the fighting choreography is just abysmal, I think, in the sequel trilogy compared to the prequels. But that's all I have to say about that.
Now, I agree with you that the lightsaber fights in the prequels are probably the best in the series. The fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan, I want to talk about that for a second, because for the first like 10, 15 minutes of that fight, I was like, wow, this is good stuff. Now, fight choreography is better than anything in the sequels, but at the same time, some parts are very obvious, like that it is fight choreography. But I mean, overall, it looks really good and it's very emotional. But it just goes on for a long time, I feel like. And that's just kind of how I feel. Like, it gets a little ridiculous on some parts, like when they're kind of like hanging off stuff. And like, I just feel like you could have cut a large section off that fight, and I feel like it would have been just as emotionally impactful. I mean, I like the fight overall. I'm glad it's there, and everybody knew it was building to that, and it's done well overall, but I feel like it drags a little too long, probably about like 5 minutes too long.
It's the fight that the series like relies on, though. Of course, it's going to be long, because it's the literal climax, the core of the saga is right there. I think it was the appropriate length.
Yeah, I agree with Dylan, Luke. I think that argument is kind of invalid.
I think there's just as much, you know, like bad stuff, especially in the Kylo Ren and Rey fight. I mean, she's never even used a lightsaber before, and she's holding her own. And the most ridiculous thing, I rewatched this scene today. The most ridiculous thing about that scene is when they like clash their lightsabers, and Kylo Ren is like, "I can show you the ways of the Force," and she says, "The Force," and like a really puzzled look. And I was lost at that point. I had a physical just rage when I saw that. That makes no sense at all. That completely invalidates every part of the sequels to me. I just they don't give a crap about the lore or the story, and that fight just sucks. So,
well, I wasn't trying to say that fight was good. I don't think it is.
So to round off, which movie in the prequels do you think has the best lightsaber fight?
Ooh.
My favorite is probably episode 1. I like the fight between, I like Duel of the Fates.
I'd probably say 3.
3? Which one?
Obi-Wan Anakin.
It's close. Yeah, I would almost agree with Luke with episode one, because so much is at stake with the development of Anakin's character with Qui-Gon, you know, dying. And, you know, of course, you have the I love the Dooku and Anakin and Obi-Wan fight, because, mm-hmm. you know, my dad mentioned this today. I thought it was really interesting. Like, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, when they fight Darth Maul, have like a set plan. And for the most part, it works when Darth Maul tries to take both of them on. They're pretty much beating him. And the only reason that Darth Maul kills Qui-Gon is because he separated them with the force fields, and he was able to take Qui-Gon one-on-one. So I thought that was interesting how in two, when Anakin and Obi-Wan approached Dooku to fight, Obi-Wan was like, all right, let's stick together. And Anakin just says, no, I'm going to take him now. And Dooku just completely dismantles both of them, because it was a 1v1, and he's a masterful duelist as a lightsaber fighter. But, you know, I love the Anakin and Obi-Wan one. I mean, I don't really want to choose that one. I mean, it is awesome. I'm going to go with the Palpatine and Mace Windu one. Because I was waiting the whole time to Mace Windu fight with a lightsaber, and I remember that just like scared the crap out of me in theaters when he spun and did the scream and just completely killed those guys, the Sei Ten and all those guys. I would say that one. I really like that one.
Yeah, I think I am going to go with Duel of the Fates just because it is so good. But the Mace Windu and Palpatine fight is definitely a close second for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the part when the Palpatine and Mace Windu clash lightsabers, and like Mace Windu has like the upper ground on him, and he just looks so, Mace Windu looks so angry, and then Palpatine looks so weak, like trying to deflect it. I love that. That's so cool. Mace Windu has a lot of cool moves in that scene too. I really like that yeah. Samuel Jackson did those moves.
Anyone have anything else to say about any of the three movies?
Yeah, I want to say I'll say one last thing.
Sure.
I think that George Lucas has been one of the most mistreated people in the film business. I think he is the most. I think he is the most imaginative person in film ever. I think that he created this entire universe just by himself, and it goes to show. I think that he's really the only person, and his predecessor Dave Filoni. They are the only two, I think, that can. They can handle this universe. Disney has proved that they can, and they don't care, and just want to institute identity politics into everything. So
right, yeah, I agree with that. He's been very mistreated, and I think he probably sold Star Wars to Disney. I wish he hadn't, but I think he did it just because he was tired of all the hate that he always got.
I agree. I think he did it. He did it as a way to show to everyone that, like, I'm the only one who can do Star Wars, and you guys wanted this, now you have it. So,
well, with that, we're going to wrap this tangent episode up. But before we go to the outro, we're going to have a short sponsor break. I hope you guys enjoyed this kind of discussion episode. Like I said at the start, if you guys want to see more of this type of content, just leave a comment on any of our social media platforms or on YouTube. And speaking of social media, you can follow us at CineBrosP on Twitter, CineBros Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and if you're on Reddit, we have our own subreddit at r/CineBrosPodcast. Anyone have anything left to say?
No, thanks for listening. Make sure to also follow my Instagram account for 5-Minute Movie Reviews. My Instagram handle is 5-Minute Movie Reviews with a underscore in between each word. So follow me on Instagram. But thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for watching, listening, whatever you're doing. Guess you can't really watch us, but...